Father, we ask you tonight, Lord, to come and show yourself strong on our behalf. Lord, if anything of eternal value is going to be accomplished here tonight, it will be because you did it. Not because of this servant, not because of who's here, but Lord, you use man to accomplish your will. So tonight, Lord, I yield myself completely unto thee. Lord, I want to be used of thee. Forgive me, Lord, of not yielding myself as I should. Lord, as best I know how tonight, I ask you to come and speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Many pictures in the Bible are given to us of Christ, many of them right here in this first chapter of the book of John. In the first verse, we see he's known and made known as the Word. We have the written Word of God, but when Jesus was alive and on this earth, he was the incarnate Word of God. It was just as if he was speaking from this book. He spoke the words of God, and he's known there as the Word of God. Not only that, he's known as the Creator. I still believe in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God, not in the beginning man, not in the beginning some theory, but in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And he's known here in verse number 4 as life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's not only the life, but he's the light of that life. And thank God that we have a book that we can go to and see what Jesus is. If you listen to the world tonight, they're going to tell you many different things about who Jesus was and what Jesus is and what Jesus did. But this book has it all written down for us. This is our rule book. You know what a rule book is. You had one in school. If you wanted to get through it, you listened to it, you abided by it. Let me tell you, this is our rule book for faith and practice. We live by this book. We should. And God gave it to us. John the Baptist, standing on the banks of the Jordan River one day, looked out and he saw the Son of God coming to him. But he didn't say, "Behold the Son of God." He said this, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. Tonight, I want us to think about just a little while on seeing what John saw. Seeing what John saw. The people who were around John the Baptist that night, that day, on the Jordan River banks, were very aware of what a lamb's purpose was. They knew the rituals of sacrifice. And when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," they had a new perspective on who was among them. And tonight, friend, he's still the darling Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. His blood is sufficient. His blood will always be sufficient. I get a little perturbed at the crowd that wants to say there's a limit to it. Oh no, if you're here and you're lost and you plead for the blood of Christ tonight, he'll gladly save your soul. And he has no limit to his love, how far he can reach, how deep he has to go. Paul said, "I'm the chief of sinners." Well, if he's the chief, I know I was one of the top Indians. He reached way down, the psalmist said, and lifted me up out of the miry clay, out of the pit. So tonight, we want to examine this Lamb of God. If you'll go back with me to the book of Genesis, the first mention of the Lamb in the Word of God is found in Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. Now, I know some of you are already going to say, "Well, it's inferred earlier." It is. God took a skin and clothed Adam and Eve. The fig leaves wouldn't do. And I believe that there was a lamb slain then. But it's not mentioned as such. But here in Genesis chapter number 22, we have the story of Abraham and Isaac. We want to begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Here's the faith of Abraham. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. It wasn't 2 days later. I believe it was the next morning. His first opportunity to do what God told him to do. You know, God still honors faith, folks. When He puts something in your heart to do for Him, He honors it if you'll start doing it. He said he rose up early in the morning. He saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. He had the faith to leave, but he had the faith that he was coming back. Not only him, but he was going to bring Isaac back with him. But there's a consternation there for me. You see, God said offer him for a burnt offering. Now, if you just a sacrifice, that means you've been cut, you've been slain. But if you're a burnt offering, you're done away with. But Abraham had faith in God. Hebrews tells us that God would raise him up. God bring him all back together. So that's faith that Abraham had. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. They had everything they needed, did they not? Oh no. Look at the next verse. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? That's the question that began in Genesis chapter number 22. It's going to be asked all through the Old Testament. Where's the lamb? Where is the lamb? It's rung out through the ages of the Old Testament. And it's not by chance that John the Baptist stood on the Jordan River one day and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. John answered the question that had been asked for many, many years. But let's read on here. Verse number 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You know, God did provide a ram. That ram was caught in a thicket by his horns. A thorn-crowned ram. There was one day on a cross at Calvary, there was a thorn-crowned lamb. He died not for his sins, but for the sins of the whole world. John saw him that day on the banks of the Jordan. And he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here in Genesis 22, we see a lamb for an individual. I thank God that there's a lamb for every individual. And his name is Jesus Christ. He can save your soul. He saved mine when I was almost 14 years old, 44 years ago. Praise God. Then in Exodus chapter number 10, Exodus chapter number 10, we've seen a lamb for the individual. Excuse me, Exodus chapter number 12. I love that sound of Bible leaves turning. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, that saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month They shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Not only do we have a lamb for an individual friend tonight, we have a lamb for a house. We have a lamb that's able to save your home. If you'll just trust God with your young ones, if you'll just let God have them at an early age, He'll save your whole household. You can be like Joshua. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a lamb for a house. I'm thankful tonight that my two sons are saved. Miss Denise and I have two grandsons. We had one born last December. December the 12th, 2012, at 12:21 in the morning. The only thing he got wrong, he was a little dyslexic on that last little bit. But his brother was born December the 3rd this year. And I thought, son, you need to be careful. You're going to have a house full before this thing's over. You keep going. But I'm thankful that we raised our sons in church. They've never known to get up on Sunday morning and ask, are we going to church today? Oh, no, we went. And sometimes we went when we shouldn't have went. We went sick sometimes. Imagine that. But I believe that you ought to keep your family in church. Church helped raise our two. And I'm thankful for that. They've married good Christian young ladies. And I have all the confidence in that youngest son that he's going to raise them two grandsons and take them to church every week. And praise God for that. A lamb for a house. And look what it said in verse number 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Listen, don't hog Jesus. He's able to save your neighbor's house too. If you'll take it to him. The problem is we don't offer it. He said if we would go forth weeping, we shall doubtless come again. With rejoicing, bring in our sheaves with us. That great song this group over here sang, Sow Mercy. Show some mercy. Sow some salvation messages to your friends, to your neighbors. Why? Because he's big enough and good enough that he's no respecter of persons. He'll save anyone that'll come unto him. A lamb for an individual and a lamb for a house. And then we have the whole book of Leviticus. Do you know what they did in Leviticus? They continuously were slaying lambs. They were continuously slaying offerings and sacrifices unto God. They were continuously doing that work. The priest's work was never finished. They were always making sacrifices. They would slay a lamb in the morning, and they would slay a lamb in the evening. Those lambs were slain for the nation of Israel. Friend, I don't think America's gone too far, but we need to put on the brakes. But I believe if we'll turn around and come back to Him, He'll hear our prayer. He'll forgive our sin and heal our land. There is a lamb tonight for a nation that will remember God and turn to God. But John didn't say a lamb for an individual. And John didn't say a lamb for a house. And John did not say a lamb for a nation. Look at it again. John chapter number 1, verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, a lot of people want to say, I've got salvation in my home, and that's good enough for me. But we're not concerned for our brethren. We're not concerned for our neighbors. We're not concerned for those that's never heard of the Savior. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He will save anyone, no matter what their nationality is, no matter what their color is. He's the Savior of the world. John saw some things as he's looking at this Lamb of God. I believe, number one, he saw him as the sacrifice. Those people who were around him on the banks of the Jordan, they were well aware of what a lamb was used for. It was a sacrifice. I'm thankful for the fact tonight that Jesus was our sacrifice. I don't have to go and offer a lamb day after day, month after month, and year after year for my sin. I have a lamb, a perfect lamb, who's been offered for my sin tonight. Jesus was our sacrifice. Not only that, I believe John saw him as the Son of God. Even before John the Baptist was born, when his mother was around Mary, the mother of Christ, he leapt in his mother's womb because he was aware of who Mary was carrying. And tonight, Jesus is the darling Son of God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Not a son, not one of his sons, but his only begotten Son, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus is the Son of God. Then he saw the scope of what the Lamb could do. Do you see it there? "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away." Not just cover it as those Old Testament sacrifices would do. Year after year, that priest would make the atonement for the whole nation. That did nothing to do away with the sin. It just pushed it ahead. Pushed it ahead year after year. But there was one, hallelujah, that went to a cross on Calvary one day, and his sacrifice didn't just cover sin. He took it away. Amen. He did away with it. Not only the sins that had been offered sacrifices for years and years before, but for every sin. No matter who committed it, no matter how much was committed, he sacrificed for every one of them. Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Then I want you to see, he saw him as our substitute. You see, in that Old Testament economy, the people didn't die. The lamb died. Their sins was put on that lamb. And that day at Calvary, you and I had the substitute. We don't have to go to Calvary tonight and try to pay our sin debt. We couldn't do it if we wanted to. We have nothing within us that's worthy. But there was one that was worthy. He offered himself as our sacrifice, as our substitute. You know, it's amazing. In the Gospels, Matthew never presents him as the Lamb of God. Mark, we don't see the Lamb in Mark. Even in Luke's Gospel, he's not there. But the writer of the Gospel of John, the apostle, the one who leaned on Christ's breast, the one that was known as his beloved, he wrote of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He also wrote, if you'll turn with me to 1 John, chapter number 2, John the Apostle, the one that was said whom Jesus loved. 1 John 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things I write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation just means He's the satisfaction. I'm so glad that He's the satisfaction. I have nothing in me that could be satisfaction. I'm just unworthy as the day is long. But He has been and is and will forever be the satisfaction for our sins, but not just for ours. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the Lamb of God. That Lamb, that's not the last time that John saw this Lamb. Speaking of the Apostle John, would you turn to Revelation chapter number 5? Revelation chapter number 5. John's now on the Isle of Patmos. He knew of what John the Baptist had said that day at the Jordan, for he wrote it in John chapter number 1. He was the earthly writer of the Gospel of John, the man that God used to write the book. But here he's on the Isle of Patmos, much older. He's been told to write the things which were, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And as he begins this part of the things which shall be, there's an interesting thing that he writes here in Revelation chapter number 5, and beginning in verse number 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." And John said, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not." I'm thankful that there's one in heaven tonight that's able to take the book. He said, "Weep not." And then he said, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." And John writes in verse number 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lion." Is that what your Bible says? Oh no. It said, "Stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Don't you see, John? He's looking. And this elder says, "Weep not, John. Don't cry anymore. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book." And as he turns, he's expecting to see the lion, to see that ferocious king of all kings of the jungle, if you will. But he doesn't see that. He sees the lamb. And friend, tonight, our message to the world is, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We go to the mission field. We're just going to tell them There's one that gave his life for you. And if you'll trust what he did on the cross of Calvary, you can have everlasting life and have life here, even on this side of the grave, life more abundantly. That's the message. But there's going to be a message one day, and that's why we need to work. They'll no longer see the Lamb. They will see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There's coming a day, folks, when, as the old song says, work for the night is coming, when man works no more. When there won't be a radio station proclaiming the gospel anymore. But until that time comes, we need to keep proclaiming the gospel. Sending out the message. The message, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Tonight, if you're here and you're lost, that's a message you need to heed. Why, preacher? Because there's going to come a day when that message won't go out anymore. Right now, you have an opportunity. You're walking on the top side of planet Earth. You can believe. That choice is up to you. The Lamb of God has made a way. For your sacrifice. He's made your sacrifice. He's made a way as your substitute. And praise God, He made a way as your satisfaction. Tonight, won't you see Jesus as John the Baptist saw Him that day on the banks? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. One holy Lamb washed my sin away. One sacrifice paid the price I could not pay. One holy Lamb, one great I Am, one seed of Abraham. One holy Lamb washed my sin away. And then if you're saved tonight, are you telling out the story? You see, it's not just good enough to believe it, but it ought to be worth sharing. Yeah. If it's real, it ought to make us want to tell it to everyone we come in contact with. He is the Lamb of God. I'm thankful for the day that little Sunday school teacher said to me, you better be glad you were saved or you could be in hell right now. See, I'd been involved in an accident. Been hit by a car. That's why I look the way I look, I guess. But I could have been gone. That could have been the end for me. But less than 2 months later, I made my way to an old-fashioned altar and trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, if He could save me, He's able to save anybody. Not only that, He wants to. We don't have to worry about if the door we knock on is somebody Jesus will save. He will. He said so in His Word. Father, thank You tonight for the Lamb of God. I'm so thankful tonight that You saved me when I was 13 years old, almost 14. So, Father, tonight, I want to say thank You for what You did for me. And, Lord, I want to say thank You for what You're able to do, even tonight and then in days to come. Lord, this great church You have here on the side of this road, the greatest days of ministry for Fellowship Baptist Church can still be in the future. Lord, what You've done in the past, You're still able to do. You've not lost one ounce of Your power. And tonight, Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost, they can be saved. And if there's somebody here tonight that would say, I want to serve you, Lord, I'll make myself available. Lord, you're able to take that person and do something with them that they cannot even imagine you're able to still do. So, Lord, I want to thank you that you're the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Not for our sin only, but for the sins of the whole world. Thank you again, Lord. Use this time of invitation tonight, Lord, to speak to hearts. Lord, mess with us. Convict us of where we fail you. And then, Lord, help us to get right. Help us to turn to you. God, do that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.